3 years ago, one man's dream of providing almost credible sports discussion about Auburn football became a reality with the launching of the AU Wishbone podcast. The motivation for spending his fortune to create the AU Wishbone was to produce new original programming about the greatest college football program in all the land.
On a cheesy!
To realize his dream, he selected the most knowledgeable and professional Auburn football podcasters. But they weren't available, so instead he ended up with Van and John. And he named these men the AU Wishbone, the invincible men of almost credible sports commentary. AU Wishbone, Illinois is Van Allen Plexico. And AU Wishbone, Virginia is John Ringer. The AU Wishbone Podcast is the arena where these two men present their views, their analysis, and their demented TV show parodies. They have 1 hour to tackle the topic of the day and to prepare Auburn fans everywhere for the 2015 season using all their skills, creativity, sound effects, and basically faking the rest of it like crazy. And now we present tonight's theme.
On a cheesy!
The SEC East. Part 1 of the AU Wishbone SEC Barbecue Preview. The heat will be on!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and for tonight's big second annual SEC barbecue preview special, I am joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, the night has finally come. It's not the biggest night because this is, of course, the SEC East. So it's important, but it's not quite the SEC West, but it's still very, very big. I hope that we still have some audience left now that you made it through that introduction. Here's the key. Here's the little secret, audience. You folks listening to this right now, you know what that introduction was, or you have no idea what it was. John, recording this right now, has no idea what the introduction's going to be yet. I'm putting it in post-production. So what you heard just now when the show came on, John has not yet heard. He doesn't know yet. Okay. Not to build it up too much, but it was sort of an obscure reference thing, and
I'm deeply concerned now.
You're curious, aren't you? You really want to know what it is I've got.
I am. Up.
All right. Well, there'll be a little hint coming when we get to the tasting, the barbecue tasting music. All right, let's set the scene here. Last year, we tried something new and different for the first time. We did what we were called. We called our SEC barbecue special, part one and part two, SEC East, SEC West. Kind of borrowed the idea from the Men in Blazers. I've always said that for our show, we like to borrow whatever works, whatever is cool from whatever source, right? I am shameless about it. If somebody else does it in a podcast or a radio show or a TV show and it works and it's good, I'm going to find a way for us to do it. And so I thought that their little cupcakes that they used during the World Cup, they'd eat the cupcake and figure out who was going to win the World Cup, those games. And I thought, well, we can adapt that to the South, to the SEC. We got to use barbecue. So what we will do tonight and next week is tonight we will look at the seven teams of the SEC West. We will sample a little barbecue, and the barbecue will reveal unto us great truths and answers, including the long-awaited prediction of the record. How will Florida finish? How will Georgia finish? We will actually give real numeric numbers.
And I would say it's about as scientific as the scene in Young Guns where they smoke peyote and wander through the Indian reservation. So,
hey, whatever works, right? You know,
that's,
I mean,
right.
Whatever gets you to the truth. Okay. Okay. So without further ado, well, a couple of quick announcements as always for those who haven't been, you know, and didn't listen last week or whatever. I just want to point out, I will be at Dragon Con coming up the first weekend of September. As usual, the weekend of the Auburn-Louisville game, and I'll be at the Auburn-Louisville game. So if you're in town for the game and you're curious about Dragon Con, stop by because you know one person that's going to be there for sure, me. Sassy South, Carrie will be there too, so you might can see her. So there'll be a nice little contingent. I think 8-Ball the Tiger might be there. So there's a nice little contingent of Twitter folks of our crowd that'll be floating around Dragon Con, and we'll always be happy to see you. So come on out. And then, of course, for many of our listeners in the Alabama area, I will be in Huntsville October 10th and 11th, the weekend of October 10th and 11th, for the Rocket City Lit Fest. I'm going to have a whole booth there. They've set me up nice with a booth, and I'm on several panels talking about stuff like movies, you know, movies about books and all that. So it should be really fun. So come on out to those two events if you're able to. Now, let us roll right on into the barbecue. What do you think, John?
Do it.
Let's do it. All right. First, I have to retrieve my barbecue from where I have stored it. Hold on. John, why don't you go ahead and tell us what kind of barbecue did you end up going with tonight?
Well, for tonight, because it's the East, I did not use homemade barbecue. I got some from a local place called Alamo Barbecue, which is in Church Hill in Richmond. It's very good. One of my favorite local places. And so that's what I'm having tonight. And I ate barbecue for dinner a while ago, so I have a little bit of kind of – I'm going to kind of taste as we go along here. So where's yours from?
Yeah,
and I got to be clear. Pulled pork only. We're not doing any chicken or sillies for this stuff.
Okay, interesting. Well, now, I thought about getting some chicken because we are doing South Carolina.
Mm.
But ultimately what happened was my family and I decided for dinner tonight to try this really cool, got great reviews, brand new barbecue place, just opened up about 20 minutes up the road from us toward Belleville called Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very frou-frou, like on the menu, it recommends which craft beers go with each barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of place. It's just, eh. But the barbecue, oh. So, by the way, John, getting a little feedback maybe out of your speakers or your earphones into the microphone, if you can adjust that a little bit, that would be cool. Getting just a little kind of vibration back when I talk. Okay. So I actually have a little leftover from several different people tonight. So I've got the pulled pork. I've got the pork steak, which is like a giant slab of bacon an inch thick. And I've got some smoked turkey with Swiss on it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I can mix it up. I got the poultry for when we do South Carolina. You know, I got the pork for the rest of the time. So it should be pretty good. I have 2 ounces of pulled pork. Let me tell you really quickly how I came to have 2 ounces of pulled pork. When you buy like a sandwich of some sort, they have a list of sides, French fries, potato salad, baked beans. One of the possible sides you can get with your meat sandwich is 2 ounces of more meat.
I love it. Brilliant.
Brilliant. 2 ounces of more meat.
I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free America.
Exactly, Ron. That is exactly what I was doing. So, all right. I've got my barbecue ready. Gonna have to use a fork. I hate to, you know, I want to just dig into it with my hands, but I got to work the controls here. My iPad's gonna be like a greasy slab of grease if I don't use some kind of fork with this. So, all right, I'm getting ready. I'm pulling a little piece loose, pulling a little bit of this loose. All right, I got some. I think it's time. First up, we're going alphabetical, right? Who's first up?
Florida.
Well, I've got Mira on the case. Mira, you tell us who's first up.
The Florida Gators.
All right. John, let us go to the barbecue.
On a cheesy!
Okay, what is it doing for you? Florida Gators. Mm-hmm.
It tastes like...
Does it taste like McElwain's overburned skin?
Yeah, a little overdone, and then maybe weak at the beginning with a strong finish.
Yeah, it's been left out in the sun too long.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I got some good lemonade here. I got to wash this down with. Hmm. Okay, so to me, it certainly tastes different than it tasted last year, but I don't know that in the end it's going to end up being all that different. You know?
No, and in fact, I think it could be worse than last year.
Yeah, we may need to. We may need to be really patient on this barbecue before it ever tastes as good as it used to.
Yeah, I think it could. This is one of those, like a fine wine. Leave it on the smoker for another 2 years and then come back.
Leave McElwain on the smoker for two more years and see what he looks like. Wouldn't look much different than he looked at SEC Media Days, would he?
No, not good.
All right, so tell us what you're kind of, in more seriousness, what you're thinking about Florida here.
All right, one of the numbers I love to look at with teams is, in addition to like how many starters are coming back, the other things I really think about is, you know, who are their non-conference teams? Who are their teams they get from the other SEC division? And then I looked at one of the stats that like Phil Steele has that I really like is offensive line starts returning.
Oh, yeah. Okay? That's a good one. Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, the average for teams in the East is about 80, okay, for offensive line starts returning. For Florida has 10.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's less than one player for a season.
Yes. So they basically have no offensive line experience. They have like the number one recruit, that guy, Martez Ivey, who almost picked Auburn at the last minute.
Yeah.
But he's a true freshman, and as talented as he is, you're going to throw him out there against, you know, a lot of good defenses. They've, from the West, they get Ole Miss in Gainesville, and they have to go to Baton Rouge. They get Florida State in the non-conference, and other than that, a bunch of teams they could beat. So the defense is going to be good, and I'm sure that McElwain and his group will get their quarterback to play better. But I just think their offensive line is such a glaring hole that it's going to limit everything they do.
Yeah.
And when they play good teams, when they play the Georgias, when they play Ole Miss, their offensive line is just going to get eaten up. So, I mean, they won four SEC games last year. They went 4-4, and I think they're going to drop back a notch and maybe go 3-5.
I don't know how they even won four games last year. 4-4. That's just
– it was a bit of a miracle. So, I'm going to say, it's going to – they're going to take a step back and go 3-5 or 2-6 in the conference.
Man. So, what do you have as their overall record?
I think they'll lose out of conference to Florida State. And so, if they go – if they go 2-6 in the SEC,
man, and
they lose to Florida State, then we're talking about
2-7,
5-7,
5-7. Wow, I'm almost that down on them, but I got them 6-6 just because I feel like they have talent in certain places that they can pull out another. When they beat Georgia last year, who could have seen that coming?
Nobody.
Or that they beat their brains in, basically. Other than just the hex, that they have on Georgia, other than that, you couldn't really have seen it coming. So I'm going to go 6-6. But if you – and I broke this down yesterday and I went through the magazines and kind of figured out gut instinct. I did – like Stephen Colbert used to say about President Bush, he's like, I make decisions using my gut. Well, I made this decision using my gut. And using the barbecue that's currently in my gut, I made the decision that Florida is going to go 6-6, which would put them in a crappy bowl game.
At Shreveport, maybe.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, that's Florida, 6-6. Not too exciting. Shall we move on?
Let's do it.
All right, we're going to get the barbecue ready. I think this time I'm going to go with a little – I had a little pork steak that time. I think this time I'm going to get me – let me open up my sauce here. I'm going to be taking the Zantac, later, of course. Cause it's we're recording this at 9:22 my time, 10:22 your time. So
yeah, it's a little late for me to be eating barbecue.
Yeah, we'll be hitting the Tums and the Zantac before this evening's over. I can see that right now. But I'm going to dip it in a little of this vinegar-based sauce and get it ready, a little pulled pork here. All right, who's up next, Mira?
The Georgia Bulldogs.
Let's go to the barbecue.
On a cheesy.
That bite was pretty good.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
I don't know if it was as good as Florida. Well, maybe let me try another. Now, I don't know if that bite was as good as Florida either. I can't quite get a Georgia bite to be as good as a Florida bite for some reason. I don't know why.
You may not like it as much, but it's better quality.
I keep wanting a Georgia barbecue bite that really tastes great, but it always drops one or two bits of flavor here or there. I don't know why that is. I don't know what it is, but it
with every bite, it wasn't perfectly made. They messed up one thing.
And you know what? At the beginning, it was telling me, this is going to be a perfect bite. This is the best bite you've ever had. And then every time it messed up.
Mm.
I mean, it was guaranteeing me up front. It was already hanging the plaques on the wall and dusting off the trophy case. But then
the Blue Ribbon Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. And it just dropped off. So. All right, so what do you see from the
Georgia Bulldogs?
What do you see from those Bulldogs?
Well, what I see is a new quarterback and a new offensive coordinator, and the new quarterback could be your favorite name to say now.
Uh-oh. What is it? Oh.
Grayson Lambert.
Grayson Lambert. I don't have a sound effect for him. I've got to get something.
Like a Highlander or something.
Yeah, I got to go on to I got to get a Simpsons clip and get like Mr. Burns, you know, yelling unleashed.
No, you have to get, who's the Scottish guy in The Simpsons?
Yeah. Okay. I'll work on that for the season. Don't worry.
All right. Anyhow, I mean, Georgia's going to be really good. You know, non-conference. They play you got Georgia Tech. They play Georgia Southern the week before Georgia Tech, and Georgia Southern is actually, you know, pretty dangerous offensively.
All right, hold on. Was that actually a smart move because you prepare for both those teams at the same time? Doesn't Georgia Southern run the same kind of offense?
They do. I mean, it's not exactly the Paul Johnson one, I don't think. But it is a triple option kind of thing. So it probably is a smart move. I mean, then you could just work on an option for weeks at a time as you head into Georgia Tech.
Right.
They do from the West, of course, they play Auburn every year and they play in Auburn, and they get Alabama at home. So they have as tough as you could get from their Western opponents.
Sure.
So, and they got a good amount of experience returning, but quarterback's a big one. When they're in those close games, you know, when they're playing, on the road at some tough teams that are playing at Auburn, they're playing Tennessee, you're playing Missouri. What's going to happen in, it's third down and it's a close game. The crowd's going, can the quarterback make a play?
Right.
And we don't know that yet. I think they all assume he can. They assume they could just hand it to Chubb 50 times and it's going to be okay, but that doesn't always work. So, that's the thing I think that's going to at some point come back and bite them in the rear end.
Is this going to be, and because of the schedule, is this going to be another one of those years, just like last year, where when Georgia plays Missouri, they just beat the snot out of them, and yet Missouri ends up in Atlanta, not Georgia?
I think that's a real scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I could see Georgia winning all their East games, but not winning the East because they lose to Bama and Auburn.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, Georgia could go 6-2 in the conference, win all their East games, but then, somebody else could win the East,
Tennessee or Missouri, probably.
That's right.
Yeah. More about that coming up, obviously.
Mm-hmm. But then that's kind of how I'm feeling with Georgia. So, I think it's going to be really, really good. It's going to be, the running game's going to be strong. They have good special teams. So, defense is getting better under Pruitt. I think they're going to be tough.
What you got the record?
I think they get revenge against Georgia Tech this year.
Okay.
But I'm going to say 10-2.
I have the Georgia Bulldogs 9-3. I agree with you. I think they're going to be a good team. Mm-hmm. But I look at that quarterback issue. I look at that schedule, and I just think they lose to Alabama. They lose to Auburn, and they drop one more game somewhere, whether it be another fluky thing to Florida, although I doubt it this year, or whether it be Tennessee, or once again the South Carolina Hex, one of those, or Missouri getting revenge, somewhere, somehow, I just feel like, maybe Chubb gets banged up for a week and can't play, and their offense is just stagnant without him or something. But I just feel like in addition to the two teams that should beat them, there's one more loss in there that'll make them 9-3. And it's going to make it problematic for them to win the East at 9-3.
I agree.
Man, crazy. All right. Continuing on. You ready to go on to the next one?
Yeah.
You got anything else about Georgia?
No, I'm good. Let's go.
All right. Let's. Who is next?
The Kentucky Wildcats.
All right. Kentucky Wildcats. Let me. I think I'm going to get a little of the pork steak this time. It's pretty darn good. I was trying to explain to my older daughter that it's basically like a giant inch thick slab of bacon, and she would like it, so she gave it a shot. All right, so let us. You get your barbecue ready?
Into my mouth.
On a cheesy!
Hmm. How's it tasting?
Improved.
Better than it did last year?
Yeah. Last year was kind of sucky. This year it's you know, mediocre but not great.
Yet I don't know if it's going to end up being any better, really, in the long run.
That's fair.
You know, when I taste this Kentucky barbecue, I have a strange desire to forget about it and go eat a completely different food. I don't know what that would be.
That's a basketball joke, right?
That was a yes. That was thank you for drawing our listeners a map so that makes sure they all get it. No, that's exactly. We don't know who would have not gotten it. So yeah. So all right, let's break down Kentucky a little bit.
All right. I mean, they have a lot of guys coming back. Okay. I mean, they have six guys on offense, six guys on defense, and I do this thing every year where I look at the percentage of yards lost by team in the SEC, like passing yards, rushing yards, and total receptions.
Love it.
And of all those, and every team in the SEC, Kentucky lost the least, basically.
Wow.
When you add those numbers together. So they got a lot of skill position talent coming back. They got a lot of offensive line experience. Like, so I told you Florida had 10. Kentucky has 95 starts back on their offensive line.
Wow.
Now, Here's the downside, okay? They have the fifth toughest schedule in the country, and they have the toughest schedule of all the Eastern teams because they get all the good East. You know, every other team in the East is good other than Vanderbilt, basically.
Right.
And the West, they get play Auburn, and they play at Mississippi State, and they get Louisville in a non-conference game.
That's pretty stout.
It is. So, I mean, even this is it's one of those things where even if they're better,
and they do they got three Louisiana Monroes or something or what?
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette, Eastern Kentucky, and Charlotte. So, I mean, those three are wins.
Yeah.
They beat Vanderbilt. That's four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then.
I got them I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. I got them 4-8. So there you go.
They won two SEC games last year.
Yeah. Well, I got them beating Vanderbilt. But I think that, I don't know who they beat last year, but I got to think that. They just don't beat Florida. They just don't. And they're not going
to
beat
Georgia. They lost to Florida in overtime last year. It was
yeah. I remember that now.
Miracle kind of win for Florida.
Yeah. That's how Florida got all those wins is by miracles. But Tennessee will be tougher this year.
Yeah, you know who else? They beat South Carolina last year because it was in Kentucky. This year it's in Columbia.
You know what, Dan? I'll tell you what. I'm willing to consider 5-7 if they beat South Carolina, but I think it's going to be 4-8, 5-7. I just don't see that team. I know they're getting better, and I think that they are qualitatively improving, but in quantity of wins, I don't see them winning more than five games.
Well, here's the thing. Could they win at Mississippi State? Maybe, but
probably not. Probably not.
Right. I mean, they have a chance, but not likely. All right. They're going to play at Georgia.
No way.
All right. They're going to play Florida at home, maybe.
Well, they desperately want to beat Florida. I've talked to Kentucky fans for the last few years, and they can't stand that Florida's got this hex on them. And the hex usually is that they're not as good as Florida.
So, here's the scenario. South Carolina's bad, maybe.
Yeah.
They beat Vanderbilt. They beat Florida at home. You know, they go 3-5 in the conference.
And then three.
And maybe they beat Louisville. They sweep their non-conference, and they end up going 7-5.
Yeah, they're not going to beat Louisville. But yeah, I mean,
I think they could. It was a close game last year, and this year it's at It's at home.
It's at Cam Newton Stadium?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, well, you know, so 7-5, 6-6. I'm not really willing to go above 5, but we'll see how it plays out.
All right. I'm just saying that's a best case scenario. I think
no, it is. It's possible.
I think it's one of the things that, like, from a qualitative standpoint, they're going to be a good team, but the way the schedule is, 6-6 is probably as good as they could hope for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's about right. Oh. 3 down already. We're rolling right along. We have other stuff to do, though. We got some listener questions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I got a factoid that's fun. So we've got plenty for tonight. We're already about halfway through the show, and we're about 3/7 of the way. Is that a fraction even? 3/7 of the way through the list.
It is a fraction.
Coming up next, who's next, Mira?
The Missouri Tigers.
Oh, Truman. Missouri, I think for you, Missouri, I'm going back to pulled pork. I got a little burnt. Oh, I got some burnt stuff, John. You know, the burnt stuff's always good. I'm going to dip it in a little of this vinegar-based. I got a little vinegar-based red sauce here. Vinegar sauce. I'm looking forward to getting back to Atlanta for another reason. I want to see if I can sneak out at some point, get somebody to ride me out to Pig and Chick. Those of you live in Atlanta, I hope you know about Pig and Chick, man. That was my go-to barbecue place in Atlanta. It was so good. And they had, you know, they had like a basic kind of a brown molasses sauce, tomato sauce, you know, like a just your standard. But they also had a red vinegar and pepper sauce that was thin, right? But it was spicy. And they had a mustard-based, a good old Carolina yellow sauce. Man, that was some good stuff. And I've long since eaten up my supplies I brought from Atlanta. So I got to get back down there and get some more of that. If any of you listening are familiar with Pig and Chick and you're on our Twitter crowd, give me a yell out. Give me a shout back if you've eaten at Pig and Chick. Cause I've got their magnets on my refrigerator just to remind me every day what I'm missing out on. That and Zaxby's. All right. So let's go Missouri. Ready? Are you already eating it and you're just waiting on me?
I'm chewing it while you
talk. Here, Missouri.
On a cheesy!
Woo! Well,
pretty good.
I just can't figure this barbecue out. I mean, it didn't seem all that great at first, but it keeps surprising me with every bite, every chew.
It's better than you think it's going to be.
It's better than I thought it was going to be. It kind of lingers around the back end.
You look at it on the plate, you're going, that's not going to be the best piece. Then you eat it and go, maybe that was the best piece.
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah, I look at it on the plate and I think, why did we even bring this into our plate? Were there other barbecues out there that would have been better on my plate than this barbecue? But once I eat it, I'm like, dang, look at that. That's not bad. So, yeah, it just keeps on being the one I remember after trying all 7 of them. So now you put it up against Western barbecue and it gets its little barbecue butt kicked. But it's surprisingly good. All right. So the Missouri Tigers, strange alien visitors from another conference who have somehow, some way made it to Atlanta 2 years in a row. No, I guess nobody since Tennessee back in 97, 98 has done that, right?
That's right.
From the East. So what can you make of these strange beings? I'm going to have another bite. That's good.
I have to be careful because I always underrate them.
Yep.
And I, you know, at some point you have to say the assumptions I had were wrong. I mean, they won 7 SEC games last year. They went 7-1 in the conference.
Was there? Well, their loss was that with Georgia, right?
Yeah, I guess so. They beat both the West teams they played.
Georgia stomped a mud hole in them in Columbia.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, they.
Sorry, I'm a little French fry with it.
That's all right. I mean, here's the thing about Missouri. Once again, you know, they got a lot of guys coming back. They have the most offensive line starters in the East, okay? They have the easiest schedule of all the Eastern teams.
There you go, the often underrated schedule factor. We point this out all the time, don't we?
They do. They're very – I mean, their Western teams are Mississippi State at home and go at Arkansas. So maybe they lose at Arkansas, but they could beat State in Columbia.
They could.
And their non-conference schedule is so weird. You ready for this?
Yeah.
They play Southeastern Missouri State. They go to Arkansas State.
Really? See, aren't they the ones I keep getting on to for going to places they're not supposed to go to?
We need to have their AD on this podcast so we can berate him. I'm sorry. You're an SEC team. I don't care if you play them 100 times. You don't go to Arkansas State.
Sir, I beg your pardon, but we do not travel to non-Power 5 conference stadium, sir. Please, you're embarrassing yourselves and the conference. At least they're in the East.
Wait, I'm not even done yet.
Okay.
And in their other two games, they play Connecticut at home, which is a cupcake city, and then they play BYU at home.
In Columbia.
In Columbia.
All right.
So, I mean, and BYU's pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
But that is just a bizarre collection of non-conference teams to me.
That's strange. BYU. Huh. Well, at least they're not playing them in Provo or whatever, because then they'd be all gasping out of breath and embarrassing us on television as they get beat. You know, that was my favorite thing. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My favorite thing back in the old days, back in the Robbie Bosco, Steve Young, back in that era, when BYU would get you out there and they had all those like 4 foot tall little receivers, and they would just run those 5 wide patterns and throw the ball every play. And after about a quarter, whatever team from the lowlands they'd brought up into the mountains of Utah to play them would just be gasping out of breath, nearly dead. I mean, you know, what Gus is always trying to do, which is wear the defense down, he does it through a lot of plays and no huddle. BYU was doing that 30 years ago through altitude. They didn't use hurry up or anything like that. They just sucked all the oxygen out of the facility. And you couldn't breathe because the BYU players had gills and oxygen tanks.
Altitude matters.
It does.
So, I mean, here's the thing with Missouri, again, about the schedule, okay?
Yeah.
Their road games in the East are Vanderbilt and Kentucky and Georgia, okay?
Got to have one more.
Well, I mean, and then they play at Arkansas. So, I mean, their East road game, two of their East road games are, or two of their East, I'm sorry, two of their SEC road games are Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
Man.
Okay. So, and yeah, they have to travel to Georgia and they'll probably lose that game. But we've talked about Georgia's situation. Georgia could lose to, you know, Auburn and Alabama.
Yeah.
And so, say Missouri loses at Arkansas, or maybe they lose, you know, a home game to Tennessee or something. Boom. They go 7-1 again, and they're in the title game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and you know, they could pull another like they did this year where they lost to Indiana and still went to Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, something they could lose to BYU or whatever.
If I told you last year, I'd say, okay, Missouri's going to get crushed in their own stadium by Georgia and then lose to Indiana. And then I just said, what's the odds that they're going to be in Atlanta? You just laughed. You wouldn't even give me odds, right? You just
I had 2%.
Right, and yet they did it. So they could lose to BYU, lose to Georgia, and drop one of those other non-conference and be 9-3.
Win the East.
And win the East, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That's the SEC East for you.
I wish I had some music. I'd play that right now. All right. So what number do you put on Missouri?
I think, again, nine and three.
I've got them 8-4, but I'm having my doubts now that we've talked. Now that we've had this little conversation, I'm kind of like, well.
See, what before we went into it, I would have said 7-5 or 8-4, but now I looked at all this stuff, I'm like, oh, good golly.
I just don't know. I want to think that Missouri – I find it fun to imagine that Missouri will find a way to do, you know, something crazy.
Wait, we talked about everybody else's coordinator changes. Missouri lost their really good defensive coordinator the last couple of years, the guy who helped them get to Atlanta. he went to be the head coach of like Missouri State.
Yeah.
They stole the defense coordinator from Memphis, Barry Odom, who's really good.
Right, right.
So I think, if you were – for a lot of other schools, I look at their coordinator hirings and go, well, they're going to take a big step backward. But Missouri, I think they're probably going to be okay.
Not so much. Okay. All right. Well, you got 9-3. I got 8-4, but I am willing to reconsider. So we'll see how that goes. We are now over halfway through. Let's move on to the alphabetical next one up.
The South Carolina Chicken Fingers.
There it is, Mira. All right. So I'm going to get my barbecue and...
on a cheesy!
Going to the poultry this time, John.
Oh, yeah. Got to.
Got a little more tender. It's not quite what it used to be. It's kind of gotten aged.
Hasn't aged well.
It probably needs to hold a press conference to say that it hadn't aged. I think it has aged a little bit. A little stringy. I was planning to chop this up, but Texas A&M went ahead and shredded it for me.
Ow. Ow.
I'm going to get one more little bite here. It's a good compliment to all the pork and more pork that I've been eating. Well, I need a French fry to wash that down. Tell us what you're tasting out of the poultry in motion.
I'm tasting decline.
Yeah.
It's like a really good restaurant you used to go to, and you still like to, you still hope it'll – every time, man, we'll go back this time. It'll be good like we used to be. But, it's gone downhill. They changed chefs or something, and they're buying bad ingredients, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Is there any reason to hope, if you're a South Carolina fan, is there any reason to think or hope that this year, I don't know if you're looking at the schedule, you're looking at new coaches or players or whatever. Is there anything you can hang your hat on, your visor on, and say, oh, we'll be better than what happened last year? Or was last year a true signpost and indication for where things are going for the immediate future?
I mean, I believe it's a signpost to where things are going. Mm. I think the schedule's pretty tough. Here's the big thing with South Carolina is, two or three years ago, they used to have about 10 guys on that team. You go, that guy's a difference maker.
Right.
Okay. That guy makes it,
Yep.
And now they got Pharaoh Cooper and who?
That's about it.
I mean, there's nobody else on the offense. There's nobody else on the defense. It's like, man, that guy's it. And when I looked at the percentage loss thing I talked about, they've lost 97% of their passing yards, 55% of their rushing yards, and 54% of their receptions. Mm-hmm. That's the most of any team in the East in those categories. Schedule's pretty tough. Their road games in the SEC are going to be at Texas A&M, at Georgia, at Missouri.
Well, now, I hesitate to say ooh on Georgia because they do have the Hex.
Well, but, I mean, still, it's tough.
Still, yeah.
At Georgia, at Missouri, at Tennessee.
Man.
Okay, and they're non-conference games. They play North Carolina in a neutral site game to open the season.
Yep.
That first Thursday night. And then
we'll be watching that one.
They play Clemson at home. So,
got a Hex there, though. See, this is it. What's saving Carolina from a horrendous season, I think, is just their hexes. They got a hex on Georgia. They got a hex on Clemson.
But at some point, the hexes run out because you don't have talent to back them up.
Well, that's what the thing is. See, when Spurrier was recruiting those big players a few years ago, he'd go and, dance in their mama's houses, Mm-hmm. But now he can't do that because, break a hip. I'm going to get a press conference called against me if I don't watch out. I'm going to get a press conference called on me.
I mean – here's the thing, how many teams in their schedule are better than them? Okay, Georgia, yes, okay,
they are better. Will they?
But I mean,
yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, LSU, A&M,
You got to think so after last year.
Missouri, Tennessee. I mean, I kind of think they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of think Clemson's better than them. North Carolina is kind of a toss-up. So
I think they'll beat North Carolina, but I think it's close. It's closer than we think.
Sure. So then, I mean, I think they're honestly kind of on the par with Kentucky. So,
ooh, boy, that's a sad state of affairs.
Well, I mean,
And going in the opposite direction from Kentucky.
I mean, to me, the only thing that I could hang my hat on is that, you know, that it's Spurrier and he'll freaking, you know, carve some teams up offensively. So, but, the, you know, they lost a quarterback who was really good last year, and they're replacing him with a guy named, like, Connor Mitch, who apparently was terrible in the recent scrimmage. So
Connor Mitch.
I'm not scared, you know. So I think they're in trouble. I think there's a scenario where, other than Vanderbilt, they're the worst team in the East. I think it's – I mean, it could be – South Carolina, Florida could be fighting for that, you know, the sixth spot or whatever in the East.
That's a precipitous drop. Weren't they, like, in the top five to start the season last year?
I mean, they won 11 games like 3 years in a row.
Yeah. Didn't beat us, but yeah, they did.
No, but they did. But last year they went 3-5 in the SEC. And so I think, you know, if they take a step back from that, then you're talking about 2-6.
Yeah, they better watch out for Central Florida.
That's what I'm saying. They play Central. I didn't even mention Central Florida. That's a home game, but that's no cupcake.
That's no cupcake. No, I mean, The only guaranteed wins I see are Vanderbilt and Citadel.
That's right.
Unless President Underwood shows up to intervene for his alma mater. Although it's what's it called on the show? They don't call it the Citadel. They call it something else. But everybody knows it's the Citadel.
It's the Citadel.
Right. So anyway, all right. So what record do you have for him then? Are you going to be generous with him? Or are you going to be hard? Hard but fair.
I'm going to be hard. I mean, I see 2-6 in the SEC, and
Lord,
you know, I see like 5-7.
Five. You know, I got 5-7. I thought you were going to go 4-8. I was really waiting to see if you went 4-8, but I think
I wouldn't be shocked a bit if they lost to North Carolina or Central Florida, and I do think they're going to lose to Clemson.
I just feel like there's a little magic dust left in the visor.
I mean, if they went 6-6, would it shock me? No.
But they're not getting above 500.
I don't see it. I think there's a clear delineation that there's teams in the East that have more talent than them now. I mean, like Georgia and Tennessee and Missouri just have more talent than them now. So.
Yeah, it's really just how much longer is the act going to go on? How much longer is Spurrier going to be able to drag it out before he?
I mean, if they don't go to a bowl game, he might retire this year. I really think so. I don't think he doesn't want to. I think he, you know, doesn't know what he'll do with himself if he's not coaching. But I think, you know, they'll have that conversation. That's for sure.
All right. I think we're ready to move on to number six.
Mm-hmm.
And before I hit the button and before I put any barbecue in my mouth, I got to say this. I think this is the most interesting of all seven. This is the most intriguing, and I think the most surprising in some ways, and maybe not the way most people think, because I think people haven't, you know, people look at how good a team is playing and they go, oh, well, they're going to go 11-1 next year or something. But you got to look at the schedule. We always say that. These teams do not exist in a vacuum. They exist as a reaction and as a consequence of the teams they play. And they don't all play the same teams, right?
That's right. That's the biggest thing. It's not the NFL. The schedules aren't equal.
No.
So, you know, when you play, where you play everybody, when you play everybody.
Who you play,
especially non-conference, you know, those kind of things make a difference.
All right, going back to the pork, and Mira, go ahead and introduce team number six.
The Tennessee Volunteers.
There we go. Let's eat it.
On a cheesy!
Man, I got to tell you, football aside, I got to give credit to the Beast. their pulled pork tastes even better now than it did at 6 o'clock.
That's impressive.
It's got a very smoky overlay, but it's got a nice rich butteriness. It's almost like they melted giant sticks of butter down into it while they were smoking it.
I've seen it done.
It's nice. Wow. The other thing is, if those of you that don't know, if you're wondering what the gentleman is saying, that's Chairman Kaga from the Iron Chef from Kitchen Stadium. And as he is unveiling the food at the beginning of the program, he yells, "A la cuisine," which is like French for go cook, basically, right? Go food. Let's go food is what he's saying, essentially. So, because I'm a big fan of the old Iron Chef, the old Japanese Iron Chef show. That's where this all came from. Okay. And the opening was taken directly from that, except changed a little bit. All right. Tennessee Volunteers. I want you, John, now to look at their schedule, look at what you know and what you think about Tennessee, and tell me why I think this one's intriguing. Because remember, people have been picking them, some people have been picking them to win the East and to do just spectacularly well. Now look at that schedule and tell me what's intriguing about it.
Well, I think they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of returning starters. When you look at the schedule,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's tougher than people think.
Mm-hmm. I
mean, non-conference schedule first, they play Oklahoma. And they get them at home. But, I mean, Oklahoma beat them 34-10 last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Tennessee's going to be better. But I think, you know, I'd expect Oklahoma to come in there and win that game.
Yeah. They got a game against Western Carolina. And then if this were a normal year, look at the next four. If this were a regular year when teams that are good, look at the next four games in a row.
Oh, yeah. It's a brutal stretch.
Go ahead and say.
Wait, hold on. You go.
Florida, Arkansas, Georgia, Alabama. Bang, 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 bang.
Mm-hmm. No break.
Well, they have a week off between Georgia and Alabama, but that's still back-to-back games in terms of the games.
Yep.
Now, to be fair, they're at Florida to start that four-game stretch, but it is Florida now, so it's not quite the, you know. But still, Tennessee-Florida is always an interesting game.
Tennessee isn't so good that they could just assume they're going to win in Florida.
Right, right. Then they've got Arkansas and then Georgia at home. Now, they got to play Georgia. But you've heard the body blow theory, right? You go up against Arkansas, and then you turn around 7 days later, and you get Georgia coming into your stadium.
Yeah, Arkansas pounds you in the gut, A week later, you got Nick Chubb doing the same thing.
Oh,
Their defense is going to be tested after that. They're going to be worn down.
And then you get a week to recover, and then you got to go to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And get pounded all over again. Mm. And you know what? You know what? You know what? When I look at the very next game after that on Halloween and I see Kentucky there at Kentucky, and three words come to mind, Admiral.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me do that again because he wasn't very loud. What is it, Admiral Akbar?
It's a trap.
Exactly. Kentucky could be a trap game there, couldn't it?
I like that call a lot.
Mm.
Coming out of that stretch, playing at Alabama, they think, oh, the worst is over. And, you know, you know, maybe they went 2-2 in there or whatever, and boom, at Kentucky.
It's a trap.
Yeah, that's, yeah, go to Kentucky. Kentucky maybe hasn't just gone through the meat tenderizer that they have. So here's the thing. I think they could do very well this year, but when they come out of that Alabama game, when they come out of that Alabama game, guess what I got their record at?
What?
3-4.
Mm.
3-4. Now, I don't think they lose another game unless, you know, Kentucky slips up and gets them, or, you know, Missouri certainly could. But let me backtrack. I didn't talk about the barbecue. Now, when I taste Tennessee barbecue, I taste the Smoky Mountains where I just was a couple of weeks ago. I can smell the moonshine. I can smell the bourbon. It's been a long time since Tennessee barbecue has really impressed me. It's been too soft. Sauce has been kind of weak. But it is getting better.
It feels like it needs to cook a little more.
It does, but I got to tell you, having just been in Tennessee, they are looking forward to their barbecue for the first time in a long time this year. They kind of smell it cooking this year, and they're looking forward to it. So the thing of it is, historically, there is no team in the SEC that's had a more front-loaded schedule in terms of harder teams than Tennessee. Most every other team almost in the SEC plays easier teams more or less, and then they get harder teams toward the end, right? Mm-hmm. You end with your big rivals. Yep. Tennessee has always played their hardest opponents in September and October, and November is usually the dessert course.
The Vanderbilt Kentucky month.
Yeah, yeah. And some non-conference cupcake. So this year's November schedule is South Carolina at home, North Texas at home, of course, at Missouri, and then Vanderbilt at home. So those are all four winnable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could lose to South Carolina. They could certainly lose to Missouri. But they're at least going 50-50, no worse than that. Yep. So I'll go ahead and say I've got Tennessee 8-4.
I think I'm going to say – I mean, I like 8-4 a lot. I think that's the right call. I thought about 9-3, but it's –
Just the schedule is not with them for
9-3. I don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, if they had an easier schedule, I could see 9-3. I think they're good enough to be 9-3. But with that schedule, I mean, what are people going to be saying after the Alabama game when they're 3-4? They're going to be
overrated.
Overrated. Sky's falling. They're going to end up 8-4. Mark my word. They're going to win more games from Halloween forward. They're going to do the exact opposite of what we did last year, right? Mm-hmm. We won our last game of any consequence on November 1st and didn't win another game of any consequence. They're going to be 3-4 and win everything else after Halloween and be 8-4, unless Missouri finds a way. But that could happen. So, all right, last one. Hold on, I'm on the wrong page. Oh no, wheels are coming off. Here it is. All right, the last one.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
On a cheesy!
John, that there's some good eating.
Soft.
It goes down smooth and easy.
Soft.
There's white meat on this chicken, John. It's not putting up any resistance at all. It's just going right down.
Oh, man.
That was a prime cut. All right, what do we really have to say about Vanderbilt? Probably not a lot.
They suck. And I mean, they have a lot of starters back, and they got a lot of tacklers back, and they got a lot of offensive line starts back, and they have a lot of skill position players back. But, I mean, they were brutally terrible last year. They break our rule with it. We talked about Missouri a minute ago. They play at Middle Tennessee and at Houston.
Oh, Vanderbilt. These East teams are just dragging the whole neighborhood down. What are they thinking?
And maybe they beat Middle Tennessee on the road. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to win at Houston. So I mean,
I laugh at first, but then I realize, well, it is Vanderbilt we're talking about.
So I mean, maybe they sneak up and beat one team and go 1-7. You know,
Western Kentucky's a good team.
I know, but I'm talking about maybe they. Do you think they win any SEC games?
No,
they go 0-8 again.
0-8. I don't know if the coach keeps the job. I mean,
if they go 0-8, Derek Mason will be fired.
Well, that's the thing is that. Their previous coach, who had the same name as the Missouri quarterback, and I can't think of it.
James Franklin.
He's just set the bar too high. Their expectations are high now. They've tasted the sweet nectar.
I don't care how high their expectations are. 0-8 is lower than their expectations.
Oh, man. What's funny is it's not funny. Is that we played Vanderbilt in recent years. We played. Mm-hmm. You ready for this, John? We played Vanderbilt in the following years, 2008 and 2012.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that drawing Vanderbilt in 2008, 2012 would have been a good thing, because at least that's a win, right, for crappy teams. Oh, but no, we lost both of them. We're on a multiple-game losing streak to crappy butt Vanderbilt.
We can't get them now. It's like a freaking cupcake on your skin.
I know. I want Florida and Vanderbilt right now. Right now.
And so they get Ole Miss and A&M. So that's when we get to the West, that's a huge advantage for Ole Miss and A&M.
Oh, huge advantage, yeah. That's one of the reasons why suddenly, after everybody and their brother was jumping on the Auburn bandwagon, suddenly, and I think it was Stuart Mandel who started the stampede, but suddenly everybody started switching over to Texas A&M. Did you notice that?
I did, but I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. I mean, if you're going to say Auburn's not going to win it, it's going to be Alabama. It's not going to be Texas A&M, but we'll see. But they are, I think, improving, but we'll get to that. Let's don't give away the prime cuts from next week. All right, so that's Vanderbilt. What's the number you're going to hang on Vanderbilt? Because most people hang 70 on Vanderbilt.
2-10?
Yeah, I got 2-10. I
guess maybe 3-9.
I got that's Austin Peay and Middle Tennessee. That's going to be their battle cry. Austin Peay and Middle Tennessee. Oh boy. Well, yeah. I'm just not been a big fan of that coaching staff after Harbaugh left Stanford. I don't like David Shaw very much, and I don't like Mason that much, and I think that Harbaugh does it all with voodoo dolls and smoke and mirrors.
Well, I like David Shaw a lot. The other guy they've lost that's really good is Pep Hamilton, who's the offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts now.
Right.
And he's really good. And so their offense took a big step back when he left. And, of course, when Andrew Luck left. But when the offensive coordinator left, too, it really hurt them. But, no, I mean, Mason is, you know, you need somebody, you know, who can really recruit like crazy, and that they didn't have the people.
All right. Well, there is the barbecue for the East. It's never going to be quite as exciting as the West, so tune in next week for that. But now,
it's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right, what have we got in the mailbag?
All right, first question comes from Nate Gilbert, who's at Flight of the Field, who says, will South Carolina beat the team that ends up winning the East as usual? And he says, will that team be Missouri?
Did South Carolina beat Missouri last year? No, it was just Georgia, wasn't it? They almost did. No, remember, they were up like 3 touchdowns or something, or am I thinking about Tennessee? It was confusing. South Carolina was in a lot of weird endings last year where they'd be up 21 points and they'd fold in the last 10 minutes, you know, or 2 minutes.
No, it was 21-20, Missouri.
Yeah.
That was a weird game. You're right.
They beat Georgia, and then Georgia beat Missouri, but yeah. Missouri still, so.
Nate also says, no way Georgia beats Auburn and Alabama.
No, they're not going to beat both of us. No way. I think we've kind of said that South Carolina is going to be doing good to beat anybody this year of any consequence, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Joseph Pierce asked a great question. I think you'll like this. Which game is Georgia going to drop knowing damn well they shouldn't?
hold on a second. This is good radio. Oh, there he is. Good old Google. Georgia will unexpectedly lose. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, their schedule sets up. They got to go to Tennessee the week after they play Alabama. Now, we already said that they wouldn't. Tennessee wouldn't beat Georgia there.
No, but that's tough.
But they got a stretch. They play Alabama, and they go to Tennessee, and then they play Missouri, and they go to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Florida likes their chances right there on the tail end of that list.
Florida's got a little voodoo on them right now.
Yeah. So in other words, what we're saying is there's not one that really jumps out as usual, but there's a couple of possibilities there.
All right. He also says, he says, Missouri plays UConn. Please make Van come up with a joke for this. There's one there. I know it.
I'll have to work on that. But But for now, UConn, forget about it.
All right. And he says also, his other question I really like is, Florida is playing East Carolina. What are the over-under on points scored in that game?
Is East Carolina really bad at off? Well, I guess against the Florida defense.
Well, actually, they've lost their offensive coordinator. He's at Oklahoma now.
Ah, so this is a 3-2 game. This is a Tuberville special.
I think, yeah, like 14-10, 13.
That's maybe 13 generous. 11. You may be generous there. I need a Tuberville special sound effect. I'll work on that.
All right. And last question is, who is your sleeper non-Georgia team to win the East?
Well, we've been leaning toward Missouri, but I guess if it wasn't Missouri or Georgia, the only other real possibility would be Tennessee, right?
Is there a scenario where one of those three teams doesn't win the East?
Where somebody other than those three?
Yeah.
Who? Florida, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, South Carolina?
It's not Vanderbilt. So, I mean,
not Florida, not Kentucky, not Vanderbilt, not South Carolina. So it's got to be Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri. It's got to be Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri.
So it's really going to come down to those three teams and, you know, their records.
Georgia's got the best team. Missouri's got the best schedule and almost as good of a team. Mm-hmm. And then Tennessee would be the only other, would be the dark horse.
Mm-hmm. But we pointed out they have some issues with their schedule, too. So.
Well, they're going to be 3-4 after 7 games, which makes it kind of tough to win the division.
It's true.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Factoid of the week.
Well, my factoid this week is just one that we've alluded to a little bit and touched on in the past, but I tweeted it out yesterday, and it's been having quite a run on Twitter the last 2 days. And so for people that don't see things like that, I just wanted to repeat it audibly. And that is that we looked a while back at the top 10 winning programs in the last 32 years, thanks to that Stassen website.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went back and looked at it, I'd saved it on my phone to look at it later, and I just happened to look at it a couple of days ago. And what I realized was that it ranked those teams based on their number of wins rather than winning percentage, which is probably a more fair judge. In other words, it had teams with a lower winning percentage higher ranked than teams with a higher winning percentage by virtue simply of playing more games, okay, and having won more even though they'd also lost more. So when I reordered the schedule, and they don't have a way to do it on there that I could see, but I just redid it in my head or on paper or whatever, what I discovered that was Auburn is not number 10 in wins. We are actually number 8. So here are the top 10 in all of college football Division I. Here are the top 10 programs in the last 32 years by winning percentage. Number 1, Florida State. Was that what you would have expected?
Maybe, probably.
Okay. I think number 2 is going to surprise you. Nebraska.
Yeah, that surprised me. They've been kind of mediocre.
For a while. But I guess they had so many 11-1 years back when they used to just crush the Big 8.
Even again, like they go mediocre, but they win in 8 games. They're not having any 4-win seasons.
No, that's right. That's true. Yeah, a bad Nebraska year is like 8-5, and a good one is like 10-3 or something.
Yeah, I mean, they changed coaches, but I think they won 9 or 10 games last year. So.
Yeah. Number 3, Ohio State, because they've been pretty consistent even when they weren't great.
Yep.
Number 4, Miami. They probably would have been number 1, except that they've had some bad years the last decade or so.
The last 4 or 5 years.
Just dropped them.
Let's be clear. In 2002, Miami played the national championship game.
Yeah, yeah. So it hasn't been that long.
Wait, it's not that long ago and way more recent than a lot of teams in the SEC. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 5, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, Oklahoma. About what you'd expect. Number 7, Michigan. And number 8, Auburn. Auburn and Michigan have the same number of losses over that span, but Michigan has like one more win. They played somehow one more game. So Michigan, 7 is Michigan, 8 is Auburn. Number 9 is the Georgia Bulldogs. And number 10 is Penn State. Who did I leave out from there, John?
Our cross-state rivals.
I did leave them out. You know why? Because they're not in the top 10. I just want to point that out.
I don't think that'll go over well.
Oh, my God! the worst one. This is a big one. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming.
But yeah, I just say. So there's that. And so far, in 2 days on Twitter, I've had one Alabama fan react to that. I think it's because I block all the others. So so there you go. There's my factoid of the week. Do with that what you will. Enjoy it. Show it off. Share it with your friends. Number 8, Alabama's not even in the top 10. Alabama's actually number 14 for whatever it's worth, if we even care. Did you have a sort of a survey question before we wrap up tonight?
Well, one of the things I want to talk about for just very briefly is just take a minute and say, talk, you know, where do you get your college football information in the preseason? And just us kick around some ideas, and then if people have suggestions that we don't use or don't know about, they could absolutely, you know, let us know. You know, do you get preseason magazines anymore? Or do you get everything off the internet?
Yeah, I get 3 or 4 magazines every year.
All right.
Do you?
I mean, I not as many as I used to. I used to get 3 or 4. Now I'm down to about 1, just because I the stuff on the internet's better.
You know what I don't ever get anymore?
What?
Phil Steele.
No.
Just don't. I've seen it. You've seen it once. You've seen it.
Yeah. No.
I don't need to read about our record on grass under lights in the rain in 1972 anymore. I've read about it 100 times. I just don't care. So I get like the first couple I see up here usually have Notre Dame or Michigan or Ohio State on the cover. And if I happen to get down to the Alabama area, I grab whichever one has Auburn on the cover. So I usually have 2 or 3.
Yeah. No, I got Lindy's this year. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I like Bill Connolly's previews that he did for SB. They're really good, where he does a lot of analytical stuff. He writes for a website called Football Study Hall. It's very good.
Yeah.
And I like that, you know, USA Today used to do a countdown thing. They didn't really do it this year, I don't think. What podcast do you listen to, a college football podcast?
You know, the one I listen to and I enjoy the most is ours.
Okay, other than that.
Other than that, I think the Audible is probably one of my favorites.
I enjoy that a lot.
Just because they're more professional about it, and they're not goofy. They're very serious. I mean, they have fun, but they're serious about it. They're informed. They're knowledgeable. And, you know, they talk about all different conferences and everything. I listen to the Solid Verbal, but those guys tend to annoy me as much as they do entertain me or inform me.
I enjoy the Solid Verbal.
I mean,
there's times when they get the Dan can be really annoying, but also there's a point where, you know, it's a little much. But I think a lot of their stuff's entertaining.
I feel like, you know, we do our goofy little silly things, but we tie it in very directly to football. They do their little silly things that have nothing whatsoever to do with football. They'll do like a whole show and it won't even touch on football. Just like on food or something. I'm just like, I don't care. If you can make the food tell you who's going to win the SEC, that's fine. We just did that. But if it's just about, you know, or they talk about, and they're like a bit younger than us too. And so the things that they think of as their childhood, fantastic, you know, pop culture stuff is stuff that I wasn't even paying any attention to. So it's just a disconnect there. Well, right. Who else is out there that I don't know about?
So we talked about Solver, we talked about the Audible. I would say USA Today has a new podcast now called The Football Four.
Okay.
Which has a lot of their writers. You should give that a shot.
I will check it out. Absolutely.
Obviously a lot of the stuff that's on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I mean, I like Brandon Marcello's Prime
Directive. Yeah, brother, a lot. Brother Brandon's got a new show, and that's pretty cool.
I really like his show. Like, you know, I've asked questions on there a couple of times.
I heard you
really
today.
Good detailed answers. And
I heard you a question of yours he answered today. I like that he gives you detailed breakdown analysis of Auburn football and Batman.
I'd agree. You know what you're getting there.
Yes.
You're getting the Auburn and you're getting
I like to think that we kind of were like the midwives of that show. We brought him into the podcast world and gave him license to talk about Auburn football and Batman on the same show. And now he does it every week or every few days.
I suspect he was doing some of that with Mississippi State beforehand. But
yeah, well, I like to think of it that we're
But there's some other good shows, and I still listen inside the Auburn Tigers and Auburn Undercover occasionally on War Eagle Radio, and there's a lot of good information out there from those two. So
I need those guys to get Levelator. I need them to run their show through Levelator and balance the audio, because there's just times that one person is really loud and the other one you can't even hear. I run our show through Levelator every episode after we record it so that you and I sound exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. High quality production material.
You get a lot of production value out of this show. You get
your money's worth out of the production of this show.
On a show like tonight, you get 2 hours of pre-production and 2 hours of post-production out of me every week for free, people, for free. We ask is that you go buy one of our books and give us a couple of bucks.
I need to go listen to there's a new podcast. It's not on iTunes yet, but there's a guy, Stat Tiger, who does stuff on family websites. And he recorded a podcast and tweeted it out this weekend. I favorited it, but I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So.
All right.
Is there any other places you really get good college football information?
No, I just listen to a lot of podcasts. I read whatever you email me. I find a few things myself. And then a couple of magazines. That's, you know,
I love Grantland.
Yeah.
As a website to begin with, because I really like Bill Simmons, but their college football coverage was terrible when they first started that first year, but now it's great. I mean, they got Holly Anderson and Matt Hinton.
Anderson's great.
And Matt Hinton does an excellent job. They write some really good stuff.
I don't know Matt as well. I've had a lot of fun exchanges with Holly on Twitter over the last year or two, so she's a lot of fun to cut up with.
Her Gus Malzahn alternate history thing was hilarious.
I told her.
And so well done.
I said, as an aficionado of Auburn football history, I said, this was really impressive. And then I said, I even thought it was impressive when you gave us Nick Saban as our coach. And she said, that is the highest praise I've ever gotten, or something like that. All right. Well, I think we're ready to bring this sucker in for a landing. We got through the East. We got one down, one to go. Of course, next week's the big one. I have a whole new theme. You don't have to go through the whole a la cuisine thing again. I got a new theme coming. It's already in the can, ready to roll. So, pick up Decades of Dominance, Auburn Football in the Modern Era. You learn all kinds of stuff like those statistics I was quoting a while ago in the factoid. So otherwise, I'll let Maddie tell you about how to contact us or how to ask us questions for the next show or whatever you want to do. But otherwise, John, any last thoughts before we wrap up tonight?
Football less than 2 weeks away, man.
Let's get going. Let's get it going. Toe meets leather. All right. Well, our time is up. And until next week, we thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.